is. So we need to see who's joined us tonight. Special guests have arrived. First of all, there's one over here. I don't recognize him. Yeah, why don't you come closer? Is there a closer seat? Hey, right up here by Val. Yeah, let's move on up here to the front. What's your name?
My name is Zachary.
Zachary. Okay, I like that name. And you're from where? Oh, all right. Look at that. Fort Collins?
Yes, Fort Collins. Great. I go to CSU.
Good. Great job.
He's from Albuquerque.
Yes, oh. I am.
Did y'all know him there? Did you know him in Albuquerque?
I just met him from
Oh, okay. Great. So you got a lot in common there.
Yeah.
And then this section over here is added. Who are you guys? And your name is what?
Sabrina.
Huh? And what's your name?
I'm Sojung.
Sojung. And Jessica? Texas Tech. And there's one more somewhere floating around, Beth. Okay, did you get an outline? Everybody, anybody else just hopping in for tonight? Anybody else new for tonight? Okay, everybody's got an outline. And we are seeing a heavenly vision. And this was a word that Paul used in front of a king. Probably shook him up a little bit. His testimony to King Agrippa, King, eventually, do you want me to become a Christian by so little? And Paul said, by little or much, you, not only you, but everybody who's listening to me would become as I, except for these chains. So that was Paul's heart, because that's God's heart, that people would get to know him. Because we have an exciting God and a living God. He's the most interesting person. He's the most enjoyable person. And we want to see what's in his heart tonight. So we come, we're progressing from the vision of himself and then as a spirit, Christ, vision of Christ was last night in the spirit. And what was this morning? Vision of the self. And then you guys did a great job on the third message, which was the vision of the
world.
So now we come to the vision of the church, which is his body. So we are on message 4, and that should be page 25. Is that correct? Okay. So we probably will have time for you to share something tonight. So if you'll pay attention and the Lord could speak to us, then we'd like for you to also share something. Okay, so why don't we go ahead and read the title together. Actually, it's two parts. The church, we're going to talk about the church and the body. So how about we read the title, a simple title, which is a quote from the verse in Ephesians. Go.
The church, which is his body.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And who knows where that's from? Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians is a book on the church. We'll cover a little bit of that tonight. So let's start out with these two men. Roman number 1 is a vision. Roman number 2 will get into some aspects of the church. Roman number 3 on the backside will be on the body of Christ. So let's go ahead with Peter's vision. How about we read that? Brothers on 15. This is Peter's vision experience. Brothers on 15 and then sisters on 16.
He says to them, but you, who do you say that I am?
And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in the heavens.
And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it.
Okay, good. So this is a major part of the Gospels. The Gospel of Matthew was the first Gospel written. And Matthew is telling us that he is the what?
King of Kings.
the king. So we're talking about his kingdom, and we're talking about a revelation of this king. And so Peter is here, and they have the other disciples. And so the Lord's asking, who do men say that I am? But you, who do you say that I am? Other men said that Christ was other people, John the Baptist, Jeremiah, some prophet. So here's a revelation, here's the vision that he recognizes who this person is. And he declares in verse 16, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Christ's response was, he said to him, blessed are you. So each of these words, almost all these words are a revelation of the vision of who Christ is. So underline, blessed are you. So this is the first revelation here, is anyone who realizes who this person is a blessed person.
Amen.
Zach, when did you first realize who this person was?
Fully realized about a year ago.
You are a blessed person, Zach.
Amen.
Whoever realizes who this person is a blessed person. So that's the first revelation. Seeing who I am, you are a blessed person. Okay, that's number one. And then he says, Simon Barjona, you are Simon Barjona. By the way, Barjona is the son of Jonah. So Peter was the son of Jonah, and Christ was the son of God.
Amen.
Quite a little contrast there.
Amen.
Yeah, you call me the son of God, and by the way, you're the son of Jonah, but I'm the son of God, the living God. So a little contrast there. Because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. So underline, flesh and blood is not revealed. There's two part here, like 2A and 2B. 2A is you have to have a revelation of this. It only comes by revelation. Only when he is revealed do you see who he is. So all of you have had some revelation of this person. Not everybody has that revelation. Most people don't have that revelation. So 2A is revealed, and it's 2B is it's not revealed by flesh and blood. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. It wasn't your daddy. It wasn't your sister. It wasn't your classmate. No one revealed this to you, but who revealed? Who gave you this revelation? Where is this revelation from? Who gave you this seeing? Who does he say? My Father, who is in the heavens. The reason you see who I am is my Father, who is in the heavens. In other words, a heavenly vision has come to you. My Father has given you this vision. It wasn't that you were born, Deborah and Anna, in a Christian family, and that your dad and mom convinced you, hey, you should believe in Christ. The Father has given you this revelation personally. So you're blessed.
Amen.
Me too. Okay, then moving on, 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter. This is revelation number 3. And what's the revelation there? Just in his name, Peter. What's that mean? We all know, right? Stone. So there's a revelation in that person's name, Peter. He called him Simon earlier. He didn't say, I say to you, you're Simon. He says, I say to you, you're Peter. Okay, so there's a revealing of who this person that received the revelation is. Have you seen that, Zach?
Amen.
Have you seen that you're a stone, Zach? That's revelation. That you're a stone. Look at these stones right here. All these stones. Rocky Mountains, full of stones. Look at those stones. What are they used for, Zach? What are they doing? They're built up. They're very useful, aren't they? Okay, so that's a picture of us right there. We are those stones. That's a revelation for men to see that man is a stone is a revelation. People are clueless that men are stones. Okay? And then that's number 3. Number 4, and upon this rock, revelation number 4, upon this rock, different word in Greek. So here's the revelation. What is this rock? Upon what is the rock here? What do you think, Adam?
Revelation.
The rock is Christ himself, and not only Christ himself, but the revelation. It's one thing that Christ is there, but if no one sees Christ, there can't be any building. And furthermore, if Noah's declaring that you are the Christ, there can't be any building. Christ not only has to exist, people have to see him, and then they have to declare. They have to speak this. That's what the rock is. Not just Christ, not just the revelation of Christ, but declaring, announcing, you are the Christ. This one is the Christ. It's wonderful to tell people around us, we have met Christ, the Son of the living God. We know this person. And they may look at you like, what? Because they haven't seen. And so the Father has to take away the veil, so one day they'll see Zach. And they'll go, amen! I see it! I tasted him, I touched him, I met him, I see. But right now they're going, oh, what? You're loony, you're crazy. You're weak, you need to... Because they're blind. Don't listen to the blind people. They don't see. Pray for them and speak to them. And that they could also enjoy this wonderful person, see this person, and speak about this person. Okay, and then another revelation, I guess this is number 5. I will build. So, some people don't realize that there needs to be something built. There needs to be a building. A building is going on. That's what's happening in the universe today. That's why the whole setting is here, is the Lord is building something eternal. That's a revelation. And it's building my church. That's the revelation. Another revelation, I guess that'd be number 6. What's being built is the church is ecclesia, the gathering, the called out one, the outcalling. Out of humanity, he is calling some. That is why you're sitting here tonight, because you've been called out to be built up as the church, which is the called out ones, so he could have what is in his heart, the church. And then he says, the gates of Hades shall not prevail. We covered that in an earlier message, so no need to get into that. So this is the vision that Peter caught. Now, don't you think, what an upgrade in human living. He was there fishing. He was a fisherman. I mean, how exciting can that be? I mean, fishing never did much for me, but I'm sure some people enjoy it. But to do it for a living, cleaning the nets, and then the Lord came to him, this fisherman, Zach, and lit him up. Don't you think his life went from doldrums, boredom, to, oh my goodness, we're inviting the center of God's heart's desire. Wouldn't you go for that too? What a trade. I'll put that away and get with the meaning of the universe. That's pretty cool. Okay, then let's read B. Another man had this vision. And this is Paul. And actually, we read this before, right? Didn't we cover this last night about Paul's experience? I think we did somewhat. Y'all remember that? Yeah. Okay. So here's another man, and he was also a young man, not a fisherman, but a very educated man, actually a very accomplished man, much more accomplished than any of us. And he was zealous, he was proud, he was very religious. And the Lord came to him, just like he came to Peter. And he appeared to this man on the road to Damascus, and a great light shone, and he realized in 15, he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus whom you persecute. And a few verses later, he says, therefore, let's all read 19, 26, 19. You see it? Let's go.
Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision.
Okay, so what he saw there, the Lord, why are you persecuting me? And Paul didn't know he was persecuting Christ. He thought he was persecuting the believers. He thought he was persecuting the followers of Christ. He didn't connect those people with Christ. He Well, he knew they were following Christ, but he didn't think they were part of Christ. So he had some beginning of revelation when the Lord said, "Why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? Why are you after me? Why are you coming after me?" So he started to see the Lord, some revelation of the Lord, more than just a individual person. And we'll get into that a little bit more. Okay, moving on to C. Let's read caption C. Go. All right, and these are verses that Saul, who became Paul, he wrote, and these were, this was a book, it was either his 10th or 12th out of 14 epistles. The Bible teachers are put it right in there, it's either 10 or 12, it's one of the prison epistles. And this is around 64 A.D., he was martyred in 67. So this is at the near the end of his ministry. So he's a mature Christian. He's seen a lot. He's experienced a lot. You can read about that in Acts and the other epistles. And so he is now in Ephesians. Let's read these two verses, 9 and 10 all together. Good. So, making known to us, underline, the mystery of His will. Making known to us the mystery of His will. So, the will of God is something He desires. It's His intent. It's His good pleasure. It's His heart's desire. What is in the heart of God? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about what is motivating God. What is in His heart? What is His interest? What is His will? And it says He's made known to us the mystery. And because it's hidden in God, because it's inside God. Come on up, Zach. Okay, you can't see what's in my hand.
No.
But it's inside. Come on, turn around here. It's inside God. It's in God's heart right there. And it's been hidden there. No one's known. The Old Testament saints did not know. And before Moses, before back to Adam, no one knew much about this person, because no one had ever seen him in the Old Testament. No one had known much about this person, much less what is in this person's heart. Who created all things? He created all things for this purpose. All things came into being for this person. Men walk the earth for this purpose. But no one knew what was hidden in his heart. Do you see the weight or the impact or the the gravity, the significance of what we're talking about here? This is God's harsh desire. Come on, Nathaniel. Okay, how old are you?
19,
a teenager. And I'm sure there's some things in here, in this heart right here. Let's see what's in here. Let's see, a degree. Let's see, a wife,
okay.
Maybe. A house?
No.
No?
A dorm.
A farm?
A dorm.
Oh, dorm, okay. No, but...
Eventually,
yeah. Okay, that's man's heart. Okay, let's talk about God's heart. It's hidden in there. You don't know what's in here. Do you? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Nobody has a clue. But now, in the Word of God, Paul is saying the mystery of God's will has been made known to us.
Amen.
The mystery. Why is it a mystery? It's hidden. And still, so many people are clueless. If they just read the Bible and come to your meeting and listen, they would know the mystery. It gets so exciting. It's exciting to know what God wants to do. When you know what He wants, who created all things for His good pleasure and for your pleasure, then it gets exciting. Until then, life's kind of ho-hum. Let's do this, do that, try to satisfy ourselves this way. Okay, well, that's what we're talking about. By the way, these are just breath mints. But you didn't know, did you? Okay, they're hidden. Okay, button up. Sorry. Okay, so this is mystery of His will according to His good pleasure. Part of His good pleasure. Remember, we're talking about His good pleasure is this will. So He, part of that good pleasure, an item of that good pleasure is to make this known. It makes Him happy to share what He enjoys. He likes to share. He's a giver. He's a life giver. He's a sharer. He's not stingy, greedy like the rest of us. He just is a bountiful. He just likes to give and give and give. So He's giving us this knowledge, this revelation, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. So according to this desire in His heart, Carl, He went about a plan. That's what He purposed. A purpose is a planning. He's planning now how to execute, how to carry out this desire. I want to act on this. So he does some planning, and that's the next verse in 10. It says, unto the economy. That is the plan. So he's planning, he's purposing, meaning he's planning, and he comes up with a plan. That plan is what the Bible calls His economy. Economy is a much better explanation of it because it tells us about the plan. It describes what He wants to do, how He wants to dispense Himself, how He wants to fill these vessels, the human vessels, with His life. We know it's a richer meaning than plan. So unto the economy of the fullness of the times, that means all the ages are headed for this. That's what the past ages are. This age and the coming kingdom age are all for His economy to head up, underline, head up all things in Christ. To head up everything. And you think, oh, that's kind of boring, dry. No! This is God. This is the wise one. This is the one full of purpose. This is the exciting one. This is the life-giving one. Okay, and then you jump down to Ephesians 3, and he's still talking about the church that by revelation, okay, that by revelation, the mystery, we're talking about the mystery, was made known to me, as I've written previously in brief, by which in reading it, you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ. So God's will is to reveal His heart's desire, and of course, we know what that mystery is explained when Christ appeared. That explained, that revealed the mystery of God. We saw what God was about when Christ appeared, right? And now he's talking about the mystery of Christ. So, what is the mystery of Christ? How do we get to know, how can someone know Christ? What is Christ like? Where is He? Did you pass Him on the road coming here from Lubbock today? No. Where is this Christ? You're talking about Christ. Show me Christ. You're talking about this man Christ. Where is He? Where is He? So what reveals this person who's mysterious, what reveals, what manifests this person? How do you get to experience and know this person today?
In the church.
In the church?
Amen.
The church? So how about the mystery of Christ? Please stand up. I want to see Christ. I want to know Christ. I want to experience Christ. And this is what makes known. This is what makes Christ known. This is what's hidden in Christ, what people cannot understand. The church manifests this person. Do you see how valuable the church is?
Amen.
When you are meeting with the brothers and sisters, you are meeting with the manifestation, the revelation of Christ. The church is what explains Christ. He's no longer hidden, right? He's no longer just invisible, because I can see him. I can hear him. I heard him this afternoon. I heard him talking to me about the world this afternoon. I got revelation. Christ was speaking to me today. But it was your voice. Because you are part of Christ. Okay, this explains Christ. Okay, good. Sit down. Okay, and that's proven by 6, that the Gentiles are to be fellow members of the body. So we're talking about the body. We'll get more into that. And then 9, to enlighten all. Oh, Paul is just so, he's so enthralled with this person. He's so in love. He went from a dry religion with rules and regulations that he thought he could keep, but he couldn't keep, and he would try to keep, and he would try to help forced others to keep, and he got delivered from that, from his own self-righteousness to the righteousness of another person. He got delivered from a book of laws. Let's see, law number 312, law number 417. And he got delivered from that to a living person.
Amen.
Yeah! And this person is the reality of all that he was reading about. That dry, dead, self-working, trying to accomplish. Now he has the very life, the very person. Don't you think Paul was on fire? Good. This man, he was so on fire, he wanted to lighten all men. He wasn't going to stop until everybody got this enjoyable vision of this person, to enlighten all, that they may see what the economy, that's the plan of the mystery. This mystery, like we talked about earlier, there's a plan, an economy to carry out God's harsh desire. The mystery, again, is the harsh desire, right? Which through the ages has been hidden in God who created all things. So I want you to underline economy of the mystery. To see it. He wants everybody to see the economy of the mystery. Of course, the verse 8 we don't have here. He was speaking the unsearchable riches of Christ. He was just speaking all these riches, 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 pouring out these riches, riches. And now he wants to enlighten them that they would see. So then in verse 10, in order that now to the rulers and authorities in the heavenlies, underline the multifarious wisdom of God. So they connect economy of the mystery. To see that is that the multifarious wisdom of God might be made known through the church. So connect that. Seeing the economy of God is display, making known the multifarious wisdom of God. The multifarious wisdom of God, the wise God, is made known through the church. The church is the display of His wisdom, of the multifarious wisdom of God. The church would make known. So that is what the economy of the mystery results in, showing God's multifarious wisdom, making it known. How is God's multifarious wisdom made known? Through what? The church. How do people know God's wisdom? The church. The wisdom of God to take dirt, which He created. I call it radioactive dirt because it's sin, it's defiled, and to convert radioactive dirt into God. Interesting, huh? Who can pull that off? That takes some wisdom, doesn't it? To take some radioactive dirt and make that God. We have a hard time just figuring out what's in the dirt. I know, we consider ourselves real geniuses and advanced in science and math and physics, and we're just trying to figure out how it kind of works, and we barely know any of it. But He made it all. And not only made it all, He was the master, the genius that thought of it all and then spoke it all, and it came into being, and it got defiled, and now He's making that defiled dirt into Himself. Wow! So we can enjoy all this rich God, all the riches for eternity. He's got my vote. I vote for Him for president.
Amen.
Forget the Republicans and Democrats. Let's just go with this guy. Okay. And so then, last verse here, according to the eternal purpose which He made. So this is according to not a temporary purpose, and not your purpose, but God's eternal purpose. So it ranks way up there. I hope you're impressed with the value the Lord puts on the church. My growing up, I just didn't think much all about the church. I mean, but no revelation. You read this and you are enlightened, heavenly vision, and you can appreciate what is in God's heart. That's why it's so enjoyable, because God is an enjoyer. He enjoys supplying us with His riches. Okay, so let's move on to I'd like to say a little bit here, tell you about something in history. I'm shifting gears a little bit, the historians here, about a man who wanted a godly society. You know, today, there are people like this. They're even sick of America because it's gone down going down the tubes. They want a godly society. So this man wanted to have this kind of society, so he went to this territory to raise up this kind of a society. And so, Adam, why don't you be this man? And so you need to head over to this territory, and you want to make it a society. You want to make it a kingdom. So what are you going to need? First of all, you're by yourself. Good. You're going to need some people to have this godly society. So here's a couple of people. Come on, right here. These guys, come on. So you get some people. Okay. And then, what else you're going to need? Now, you're a young man, 28, 29, around there. And you have brothers and sisters, mom and dad. And so what else would you like to have here in your kingdom? Your family?
Yeah.
It'd be good to have Absolutely. Your family. Okay, so here's your brother. And
hey, brother Jacob.
You get Jacob enjoying this godly society. Okay, and what else are you going to need here in your kingdom?
I'm assuming some resources.
Some resources. Well, this land's plentiful. You got all the resources you need.
Okay. Probably some way to make it a godly society.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to do. But you're going to need a place to dwell, right?
Houses, yeah.
You need some dwelling, so you better get some dwelling place.
Okay.
And so now you have your dwelling, and then probably your Your family has their dwelling, but you're living by yourself. So what else do you think?
I need a wife.
You need a wife.
Amen.
I'm glad you need a wife. So let's see. Let's see. Who would you like to be your wife? Well, I might pick the wrong one. Let's just get him up here. Right. Okay, so you grow your hair a little bit.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, so you got a wife. You got a wife. Okay. And you discovered that in this territory, there's, once you got over, you realize there's someone else that wants to take this territory away from you.
We need some guns.
You have an enemy. You have an enemy, and so what are you going to need to defeat your opponent, your enemy?
Some guns.
Some guns. And who's going to fire those guns?
I can do that.
You can do that by yourself?
Depends.
Well, this is a pretty strong force you're up against. It's not just a pea shooter.
Yeah, amen. We'll all start training.
You need an army, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, like a fighting.
Oh, you want some more people?
You want some more? Get Jack over here, more people. Okay.
Let's go fight, brother.
Okay. Okay, so eventually this person raises up the society. Okay, sit down.
Okay.
So you, history, what am I speaking about? Actual situation. Who's the historians here? Who can tell me who I'm talking about? Anybody study history? 19th century, 18th century, 15th century, further back? What do you think? The Puritans? You're warm. Huh? Come on, Amy, what? George Washington, not bad, not bad. A little bit further back. I give you a clue. His first name starts with J.
Jackson.
What? Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus. So, what we just described are aspects. This is what the church fulfills, what he needs as a man. Of course, I left out the part that needs a body, because that would have given it away. And that he's needs a man, that probably would have given away. So this is what the church is to him. Without the church, he has no body. There's no corporate one new man. There's just a bunch of scattered people that are fighting each other, hating each other. He has no family. You like family? You like family? I like the family. I like the family. I like the church family. I really like the brothers and the sisters. I really like my sisters. I really like my brothers. I like God's. I like to be in this family. And the dwelling place. It's having God dwell in us. He needs a place to live. He says, Isaiah says that the Lord, heaven is my throne. So I rule the whole universe. I'm on my throne. I hope this doesn't collapse. I'm sitting on my throne, and the earth is my footstool. There's the earth just for my feet. But where is the place of my rest? Obviously, and where's my house? Where's the house you'll build for me? Obviously, the throne is not that. The earth is not that. Where is that? He wants a home. He wants a dwelling place. Then he needs a wife. Christ needs a wife. And then there's a need to deal with his enemy. And so he needs somebody. He won't do that by himself. He will use a creature to overthrow the creature. He will do it in the principle of the body. Okay, so these are the aspects that leads into the second part about the aspects of the church to Christ. So number one is the body of Christ. You have those verses. The church, which is his body. Number two, I'm going to ask some to come up here and tell us these, so pay attention. And this is in the order that Paul presents them in Ephesians. Christ needs a body. That's the basic. Without a body, you can't have any of these other things. You need a body. So this is his corporate body, spiritual body, is us. Then that body needs a person. It's not just a corpse. It needs a person, a man, a one new man. So that's what the church is. It's one new man. And then you see his kingdom in 2:19, and in 2:19 you see his family, God's kingdom, God's family. In 2:20, same chapter, 2:22, you see his dwelling place. We're being built together for his place to live, to dwell. And then you skip out to chapter 5, and you see the bride. Christ also loved the church. Just like husbands and wives, it's a comparison there. And then the warriors in chapter 6, the whole armor of God for our wrestling. So underline, I'll tell you what to underline, then I'm going to ask you to help me. So in number one, the body of Christ, underline the church, which is his body. New man, underline that he might create, he might create the two in himself into one new man. Number three, you are fellow citizens with the saints. Number four, you are members of the household of God. Number five, you also are being built into a dwelling place of God. And then six, Christ also loved the church. And seven, the whole armor of God for our wrestling. Okay, let's practice. So the church to Christ, and this is just Ephesians. First of all, it's what? The body of Christ. That's the church, which is his body. Then it's the new man, one new man. And that's in chapter 2:15, which says he created the two, those are the two peoples, the Jews and the Gentiles, he created in himself into one new man. So the church is the person, the man. You ever realize the church is a man, one new man? And then it goes to chapter 2, verse 19, is you are citizens with the saints, right? Citizens, that's kingdom. And it says you are members of the household of God. That's his family. And then in chapter 2:22, it's you are the dwelling place of God. We're being built up as a dwelling place of God. Then you go to chapter 5, which the Christ loved the church. In chapter 6, the whole armor of God for our wrestling. Okay? So let's see if you can do it. How about some volunteers? We're just practicing. How about some students? We'll help you, and then we'll get some more volunteers. Who wants to try? You can have two of you if you want. No, just, you know, it doesn't have to be, we don't expect a lot, I just told you, so you don't have to get the exact wording, just see if you can, see what you can get. Let's just start working on it.
We see Ephesians, which is his body.
Yeah.
Verse 1:22, which is his body.
Okay. Okay.
And the one new man.
That he might create the two in himself into one new
man.
Yeah,
good.
And so make a peace.
Also his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord. You then are fellow citizens with the saints.
Good. Amen. Fellow citizens.
And his
family.
Yeah. Same verse. And members of the household
of God.
God.
Amen.
Okay.
And his dwelling place.
2:22. You also are being built up into a dwelling place of God.
In spirit. Good, Adam.
Let's go with bride.
Yeah, let's go with bride. Good.
Put on the whole armor of God
for your wrestling.
Good. Wrestling. Very good. Okay. How about a couple sisters? You want to volunteer? We'll pick on you together. You can have someone join you if you like. Just do your best. We realize it's short notice. And you, if you need to look down, you can look down. It's fine.
The church is the body
of Christ. Yeah.
The church is his body. If you do one,
yeah.
The church is the union. That he might create the two in himself.
One union. 3:15.
Yeah. The church is the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
So then you are fellow citizens with the saints.
Amen. 19. Good.
The church is the dwelling place. So then you are members of the household of God.
Yeah.
The church is the bride of Christ. Ephesians 5:25. Even as Christ also loved the church.
Yeah.
And the church is the warrior.
Good. Our wrestling, good. So church is very valuable to the Lord. Satisfies his need for a dwelling place, gives him a wife, a people, a family, defeats his enemy. This is what's been hidden in him, and now we participate. Okay, let's move on to the next page, which is the body of Christ. Okay, let's read the caption there, Roman numeral 3.
Body of Christ, building it up.
Okay, so now we're talking about, we're going to focus in on the body, which is the main aspect he is in Ephesians. Without the body as the base, there can be no other aspects. So we're going to focus in on this one. And the first letter, there's four letters here. The first one, let's read it. Yeah, so that's a mouthful. The corporate Christ is one. We're not talking about many corporate Christs. They're just one. And it's blended. These sisters over here, she came from Lubbock. They came from Austin. And they came to blend, right? So they're taking their spring break to be blent with the saints from this area. New Mexico, right? So God has placed people in the body as it pleased him, and he likes to have us blend together. So it's blended. It's a blended body with many, not just one, but many and indispensable. It doesn't matter how weak someone appears or how useless you think they are, they're indispensable to God. And functioning, I want you to underline or circle that word out of this Roman numeral A. Functioning is a key word. And members. All significant words. They're members. That was the problem with the self earlier today, was not seeing that you are a member. So it's all about me, self-centered, self-thrown, and so no good for the body, actually. Stumbling block to the body. Okay, so in these verses, in 12, this is some of the verses in Corinthians. By the way, We're going to hit Corinthians first with chapter 12 and chapter 14. And that was his sixth epistle. And so the Bible is progressive, the revelation. If you read 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, no mention of the body in there. Very little mention of the spirit, actually. Not the development he had in Galatians. Galatians was written after 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. So in Paul's epistles, you can see the progressive revelation. So in 1 Corinthians is the first time he lays out the body in a lot of detail. And then in Romans, two epistles later, he goes on and adds a little bit more. And then by the time he gets to Ephesians, which is either two or four more epistles later, he is hitting a home run there and taking the revelation even further. So you have to see there's a development here in the revelation and the revealing of the body in Paul's writings. So in verse 12, he says what? Let's read it.
For even as the body is one and has many members, yet all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is the Christ.
Okay, so here he is talking about the human body. See, the body here is lowercase. So he's making the analogy now of a human body. He's trying to portray a spiritual reality, and this body of Christ is very living. It's organic. So he's taking now and talking about the human body. You know, body has different meanings. It could be some of you in high school maybe members of a student body. Were you part of the student body? Some of you were in the student body. What is that? What was that? That was just a group of people that came together for a common purpose. They're still individuals and they just had a common goal. We're not talking about the student body here. Paul's not drawing analogy to that. He's drawing analogy to the human body. Okay? So, in the spiritual realm, what he wants to teach us in the spiritual realm, since we can't see it, we look at a physical picture here so we can try to pick up the spiritual meaning, spiritual reality. Okay, so he says, for even as the body is one, would you all agree? The body is one and has many members, yet all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is what?
The Christ.
The Christ. So if you were writing it, or me, we would have said, if even as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is the church. Right? So also is the church. As the body is one and has many members, 1, 2, 3, 4, and all the members being many are one body, so also is the Christ. Wait a minute. The church. The Christ?
The Christ.
So also is the Christ. What I'm talking about is not just the body, I mean just the church, I'm talking about Christ. Amen. Or what about this, if you read it, even as the body is one and has many members, yet all the members of the body being many are one body, so also is the body of Christ, right? It's an analogy. I'm taking the human body to describe the body of Christ. Amen. I want to explain to you the body of Christ. So as the body is one, has many members, all the members of the body being many are one body, so also is the body of Christ. Is that what he says? No. He says, so also is the Christ. So what is this? What's the implication here?
The church is Christ.
The church is Christ. So you could read it this way and just leave out even as, because we're going to cut out so also is the Christ. You could read it for the Christ is one and has many members, Yet all the members of the Christ, being many, are one Christ. That's what he's saying. For the Christ is one. The Christ is one. I'm looking at the Christ. And the Christ has many members. And all the members of the Christ, being many, are one Christ. So the revelation is that the church is Christ. Now that's going to tilt some... That's going to blow some gaskets here. The church is Christ? No. The church is the body of Christ. True? Yes. But do you see the church is Christ?
Amen.
Jacob, it's not like Christ. It is. That's what Paul says. For me to live is Christ. Not like Christ. For me to live is Christ. You see it? So that's why we call it the corporate Christ. So when you're around the brothers and sisters, you have to realize, I am around Christ.
Amen.
I'm a part of Christ, and this is a part of Christ.
Amen.
Wow. That's quite an elevation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you, Adam. Okay, let's go through this. So also in one body, were we all baptized into one body. If you haven't been baptized yet into this one body, then we recommend you do this. So you can be transferred out of the worldly system we talked about, you share with us, into Christ's body. And then I want to jump down to 17. We'll use Michael on this one. If the whole body were an eye, then he says, where would the ear be? Is that what he says?
The hearing be.
Well, he says eye. So he didn't say seeing and hearing. He says eye. So why doesn't he say where would the ear be? And then he goes on. If all were the hearing or ear, where would the nose be? How come he's not saying eye, ear, nose? Was that a doctor? Huh? Yeah, he's emphasizing the function here. He says if all were an eye, where would the function of the ear be? So he's emphasizing by not saying ear, but saying hear, he's emphasizing the function.
Amen. I heard that.
You heard that?
Amen.
Okay. So he's emphasizing the functioning of the members. And if all were the hearing, where would the smelling be? Smelling. Function. So members have function. The body has to have function. All the parts of the body are for the functioning of the body. There's just one life here, the body life. There's not an ear life and an eye life and a nose life.
Amen.
Is there? There's a body life. And all the members of the body are to serve the body. They're not serving themselves. They're serving the body.
Amen.
If you hear, you're driving across the railroad tracks and you hear the whistle blowing, what are you going to do? The ears hear that.
Mm-hmm.
It's for the body to protect the body so the body doesn't get killed, right? You stop.
Mm-hmm.
It's serving the body. So all the members are for the functioning of the body. You see yourself as a member. Do you see how critical it is for your functioning? If the ears don't function, there's no hearing.
What?
Yeah. If the nose doesn't function, there's no smelling. If the eyes don't see, the body is blind. And God put all the members in the body as it pleased Him. And so you can't say, oh, I'm the eye, so I don't need you. You're crazy. You better receive and appreciate that function of that member. Don't you enjoy? Okay, what member, I'm going to take away a member. What member do you want me to cut out of your body?
The first one that you think of.
Now, I'm asking you. It's your body.
Okay. Well,
what do you want to give up?
I'll lose an eye.
You lose an eye?
I'll lose an eye.
Whoa. I did that last year here, and I suffered. You don't want to lose an eye. Pick another one.
Should I deal with a limb?
Oh, that'd be pretty bad, too. Okay. Which limb would you give?
My right hand, because I'm left-handed.
Oh, you give up your right hand?
Right hand.
Okay. You get the picture. Now, what member? Okay, so here. Here's old Jacob. Is he worth anything? You think, oh, look at this little old guy. You want to give him up?
No.
No. How about Nathan? A little freshman. Did you say you're 18 or 19? 19. You're green. You're just a youngin'. Do we need him?
Yes. He's a brand new cell.
He's a brand new cell. We're not sure what your function is, but if you keep growing in life, if you keep growing in life, you'll be manifested what the body needs you to function. Aren't you enjoying the body life? Did you ever dream in high school you would walk into UNM. You would show up at UNM and you'd meet people like this. Did you ever think this was, did you think this existed on the earth? Is it Nathan?
Yeah.
Nathaniel. Nathaniel?
Yeah.
Oh, that's... Okay, that's a good name. Did you ever think that this would be your reality, your life?
Not at all.
Not at all. Are you blown away?
Yeah, every day.
Every day. Unbelievable. Okay. What a life. Do you enjoy the brothers? Do you enjoy being in the family? Do you ever get in the home? Do you go to a home meeting and you get to be with the family? And maybe there's some kids there, and maybe there's food there, and there's fun, there's people enjoying, there's happy people there. Aren't you thankful?
Yeah.
Me too. And all the members are necessary for the functioning. Everybody's functioning. Okay, then let's move on here to... So actually from 14, verse 14 down through 25, it's all about the human body. He's just taking it item by item, trying to explain to us what the spiritual body of Christ is like. Members are indispensable. Members are blended together. Some are don't seem necessary or very necessary. Some have to you give more honor to because they're less comely. Like in my physical body, what do you think an uncomely member would be?
Feet,
toes, grandma's toes, their hammer toes are on top of one another. It's like, oh no, let's look at that. So she puts on some nice shoes, right? My shoes actually cost more than the rest of my whole outfit here. I spent more money on my feet because they're not as comely. And plus they have to support all this structure. So I want them to have a good, comfortable day, right? So I just pay the money for the less common member. So God shows honor. He has blended the body. We're still talking about the physical body. He's blended the body together. So all are necessary, and there's the same care. That's why it was such a hard decision for you to try to give up a member, because you care about all of them, and they're all necessary, and they're all blended together, right? Okay, so then let's go on to prophesying. How about you read verse 1 and 3. Okay, so prophesying is commonly understood as just predicting that something future event is going to happen. But in the Bible, actually, it is much more the case that it's a speaking forth Christ, speaking for Christ, speaking just like you did this afternoon. You're speaking Christ. You're speaking for Christ. And so we want to build up the church, and he says here that we should earnestly desire the spiritual gift to prophesy. And we do that in the church meetings, basically. We can prophesy in the homes, we can prophesy on the campus, but when the whole church comes together, which is the context here, one by one they can all prophesy. So I think you're all convinced, I think probably most of you have been around a little bit and know about prophesying. So rather than just talk about how important it is, I'd like to give you some practical tips to help you in your prophesying so you can come. And in the district I'm in Austin, we break up into districts on the Lord's Day, and I'm in a district that has a lot of students in it. And those students are in an environment on the campus where they're in Bible studies, they're in twos and threes, they're in a ministry meeting, and we're in the Word, and their speaking is quite developed. I'm sitting there listening to these college students, and they are speaking forth Christ and with vision, with spirit, and they're building up the church as college students. So I'd like to give you a few pointers here on prophesying. So you can write these down if you like, or just listen. So first one is the verse we just read. We should earnestly desire. So this should be a desire you have. And maybe you're not a public speaker, that's fine. You don't have to be a public speaker. In fact, your disposition may be just the opposite. That doesn't matter. The Bible says you can say five words, and that builds up the church. Amen. And the next time you stand up, you may say six words. So just stand against your disposition. We're not requiring everybody to speak. It's not forced, but you should desire. The Bible says to earnestly desire. That's Amen. Desire to prophesy. You should have this in your heart. I would like to build up the church. If this is God's eternal purpose, and it's in God's heart, and this is what the whole thing is about, the whole universe is about building the church, let me put in my little portion here. So that's number one, desire it. And then number two is, if you're going to prophesy, you have to have content. So second point is, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Have something that you can speak. You want to speak forth Christ, so you need something content. You need some content. You just don't want to stand up and talk about the weather. You need to speak something of Christ and for Christ, so let the Word dwell in you. And then, number three, realize that the Lord gives you something. Oh, let me back up. Let's make number three. Muse on this Word. If He gives you a Word, the Word is dwelling in you richly, He speaks a Word in your morning revival, then muse on that. Eat that during the day. Pray that. So it's becoming rich in you. And then number four is realize that the Lord gives you this for others. So if you just think, oh, this is just for me to enjoy the Lord today so I could be happy, that's good. He gives it to you for you. But you have to have the thought, oh, someone else needs this. So the speaking you get is not just for you. Okay, so my mouth is dry right now. So I'm going to take some water, but this water is going to go in my mouth. Now my mouth is not so dry, but my whole body is going to benefit from that water. The water was not just, it just didn't stay in my mouth, did it? So that water, which was taken by my mouth, received by my mouth, it's now for the whole body. Right? I mean, I could try this. If a member didn't want to coordinate with the mouth and say, I'm on rebellion, I'm not going to coordinate with the mouth, I'm going to get my own water. Is that going to work? How long, if the mouth doesn't take in water, and this one's immersed in water, what's going to eventually happen to that member? It's going to die. It's going to die. It's immersed in water. It needs water. But it cannot take in water itself. That's not its function, to take in water. Its function is to bring the water to the mouth, so they can get the water. Watch, it's the splash zone, so watch out. Okay, so then number five is, you should come to the meeting with the intention of prophesying. You may not. In Austin, you've got to almost fight to get up. I mean, it's a little bit, a lot of people want to prophesy. But you have the intention. You know, you have the thought, oh, I want to share something. I've been enjoying you, Lord. I just want to add something. I want to throw my grapes or my salad. Okay, so those five, the first five, are regarding the preparation before you get to the meeting. Okay? So if you just don't prepare and you show up at the meeting and then it dawns on you, well, man, this is sure quiet around here. I mean, it's a little bit, you can still prophesy. But if you come prepared, it's more likely to add more content. So those first 5 points were pre-meeting, and these next 5 were in the meeting. So, first of all, since you're college age, this is what Paul told Timothy, don't despise your youth. You may look around, there's a lot of older saints, and they're firing off, and there's still so much experience of Christ, and you go, wow, that was so good. Whew, I got so much help out of that prophesying, and I just have nothing compared to that. No. Or I'm just a new one around here. Don't despise your youth. You have to start. And secondly, or I guess this would be 7, is don't despise your portion, even if it's small. So don't despise your age, that you're young. Zach, how old are you?
21.
Okay, there's even ones that's younger here. Nathaniel's only 19. Nathaniel may look over there. He's 21. That's an old man over there. He's not a teenager anymore. What's it like to be a 21-year-old? Or he must be. Okay, don't despise your youth. And don't despise your youth, or all of your youth compared to me, or your portion. Okay, that's 6 and 7. And then 8, don't wait for inspiration. Sometimes you're sitting there thinking, well, I got something, it's rich, it's good, I'm just going to wait till the Spirit falls on me, and that will be my cue to speak. When I feel the Spirit, No, don't wait for inspiration. Get up and open your mouth, and the Spirit's going to be all over it. The Spirit's going to be right there. No one can say Lord Jesus except in the Holy Spirit. So you get to say, Lord Jesus, boom, you're in the Spirit. Don't wait for the Spirit to inspire you. You just get up. Of course, you're listening and you're receiving and you just get up. Okay, that's 8. 9 is focus on one point. Sometimes people, you got 5 points and you want to just get them all out because they're all good, but people lose it. Just take one. Be living. Be speak it. And give your, have a point, have a focus, so we get what you're saying to us. And then finally, 10 is observe and imitate those who are patterns. There's some that have been prophesying for a long time, and I'm in awe of some of these that they just, every time they stand up, it's like gold, liquid gold just flowing out. And so they've been practicing, so observe them as patterns, and you can learn from them, right? So those are just some practical 5 points before you get to the meeting, and then when you're in the meeting, then you can prophesy. And when you prophesy, you'll be speaking, that was 3, speaking encouragement. Look at 3 again. He who prophesies speaks building up and encouragement and consolation to men. So some people just barely made it to the meeting that morning. They're bummed out. They're not even sure they should have gotten there. They may be low on sleep or worried about something. And you stand up and you share something of Christ, and they just feel so encouraged and so consoled. You may not even realize who heard what that meant. You don't even know what that word meant to somebody. But the Lord spoke it, so it was needed. And if you mess up and you totally blow it, sit down. And all you can do is you just it was 30 seconds, 45 minutes. So what? So you spoke some nonsense. You know, my little grandchild, she's just, I got, I'm going, oh, say it again. No one's going to despise. I mean, we all realize. We all were there. We all get it because we all started out there. So, don't worry about it. Don't sit down in your chair. This is 11. I had one. When you sit down, don't let the enemy come beat you up for the next 10 minutes and you miss all the other prophesying because say, I didn't even get my main point out. Just forget it. It's for the building up. Okay, let's move on to, so you circle prophesying, and the first A, you circled functioning, right? You got to walk away functioning. We need the functioning of the members. B, we need prophesying. That's a real clear one. C, what do we need?
Coordinating.
Okay, here, Paul is exhorting us to present ourselves. Let's read one. Brothers on one, sisters on two, like that. Go.
I exhort you, therefore, brothers, through the compassions of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service.
Okay. Okay, so here again he's using the physical body, the human body in four, and then the body of Christ in five. Okay, here, it's a progression. He gives us some help as to how to build up the body. In verse 2, I want you to underline renewing of the mind. So he's presented all of Romans, and so he says, therefore, based on all that we've laid out about Christ, all that Christ has accomplished, his judicial redemption, his organic salvation, now he wants a body, which is, by the way, the will of God in verse 2. That's what the will of God is in this context, is the body of Christ. But we have to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. So he's letting us know that our mind is needing renewing if we're going to prove the will of God. The mind has to be renewed. The will is that which is good and well-pleasing. And so here's how the mind, here's the problem with the mind in verse 3. He says, not to think more highly, underline that, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think as to sober-minded. So here's the problem with the fallen mind and the individual self, is that we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And that's what causes the problem in the body. I've seen this many times. I have the same problem. Some members don't get along. They can't coordinate. We're talking about coordination, by the way. Is that you think more highly of what you have than what someone else has had. And that's a problem in the body. And that's due to the fall. So he's telling us, he's giving us a clue, we need a renewed mind. That's not God's mind. That's the fallen mind. So you need the new renewing in your mind, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to be sober-minded. Be sober about it. You're not being sober when you don't think. When you think more highly of yourself than you ought, you're not sober, because God's apportioned to each a measure of faith. So let's say, look, Jacob has more faith than Dylan. So he's a little bit, he thinks more highly. Like, I got more faith. Things are happening. And he's looking at Dylan. Where's your faith? Well, did you not read that God has apportioned to each a measure of faith? God apportioned that faith. By the way, that faith can grow, but that's God's portion. So why would you think more highly of the portion you got when God gave you your portion and God gave you his portion? God gave him his portion. It's an unrenewed mind. You don't get it. You don't see that God is operating all things for the proving of his will by apportioning, and then he lists out some of the, later on, it mentions in verse 6 about the different functionings. And even in Philippians, he elaborates, doing nothing by way of self-ambition. This is Philippians 2:3. But in lowliness of mind, considering one another, listen to this, more excellent than yourself. So not only not thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to, but how about thinking of others as more excellent than yourself? What kind of mind is that? Who has that mind? Christ. Yeah, we don't. That's an unrenewed mind. Not regarding each his own virtues, but each the virtues of others also. So what we do, we have certain virtues. Come on up. What's one of your virtues? You're handsome, you're smart, you're built. I mean, you're what? I mean, what do you think I'm good at?
Hockey.
Hockey. Okay, hockey. So he regards that as a virtue, right? I mean, you kind of evaluate people. Like, if they're good at hockey, then they're okay. If they're rotten at hockey, they're kind of lower class. Is that what you're saying? No.
It's been a long time, but there was a time, yeah.
Okay, how about a personal virtue other than, so you're athletic, that's what you're telling me.
No.
You're good at hockey. You're athletic. Okay, are you athletic? No, you're not athletic. So, he's athletic, we call that his virtue. So, if you're not athletic, then you're lower class, because that's his virtue, and he thinks more highly of that virtue, so he evaluates everybody by how athletic they are. And if you're not athletic, you're low, boy. You see what he's saying? So we're good at certain things, and so we're good at those, so we now evaluate everybody according to what we're good at. We esteem that virtue, and people that aren't good in that virtue, then we don't think as highly of them. And now everybody's doing that because he has a virtue. What's your virtue? You don't know. You got something.
Got good hair.
The haircut? Come on, what is it? You go with hair? Okay. Well, look at that. He has no hair back there. So, like, no good, right? I mean, just not up there. I mean, why not? Come on, another one. What's your virtue? Dylan, come on, you got a virtue. You're a proud person. What are you proud of? Mathematics. I mean, you evaluate people according to their GPA. You got a good GPA. So if you have a 3.5 or above, you know, I can respect you. If you're 3 or 3 point below, you're not diligent. You don't apply yourself. You're not educated. You see, isn't this true? I mean, we have something that we're good at. And so we use that as a measuring stick. And if they don't measure up to that virtue, then, sorry, I can't receive you. I can't try, you know. You don't. See, that's what he's fighting here in Philippians. Okay, thanks. He says, not regarding each his own virtue. Don't regard athleticism. Don't regard hair. Don't regard GPA or whatever it is. But each the virtues of others also. So regard their virtues. Regard the hair. Regard the GPA. Your GPA is 2.0. His is 3.5. So you don't regard GPA. Don't measure me by my GPA. Okay, that's what he's saying. So this is what causes problem in the body. You see? This is the problem. So he's trying to help us renew. Be renewed. Our thinking is so warped, so self-centered. Self is in the center. Self is on the throne. Okay. Then verse 5 says, so we also are one body, that's capital B, in Christ, and individually members one of another. So I want you to compare, or let me ask you, how does this group of verses reveal coordination? I just read the 5 verses for you. Tell me, where do we pick up coordination? You know, this is a little more advanced than Corinthians. Where do you see coordination in here? What tips you off? Huh? One body, many members, yeah. Yeah, it's on the right track. There's a key phrase. Members one of another. If you go back to Corinthians, go back up to the first section, verse 27, he said members individually. And we're here where he's speaking about it. You see that circle, members individually. chapter 12, verse 27. Now go down to Romans 12, 5. Individually members, so individual members, you're still individual members, but then circle one of another. What does that mean? He adds one of another. Corinthians, he said just individual members. Now he says individual members, one of another. That's where you see coordination. Members, one of another. Here, look at my hand. Individual members, right? But they're members, one of another. They are a team. They're a group. They function together. They're members. They're individually members. They're individually still. This is individual. Individually members. But they're members, individually members, one of another. That means they're connected organically in life, but also in function. They function together. There's a group. So that's coordination. If you're one of another, you have to coordinate. You have to work with, and you have to communicate, you have to work out, you have to exercise your spirit together and coordinate with other members of the body. Without coordination, and little Kate I talked about earlier, she, you know, her body movements are like this. When she wants to reach for something, it's not coordinated. It's real jerky. Have you ever seen little babies, the way they move, they like that, and they just, it's just kind of spastic. Because she doesn't have enough growth in life. She's not that mature. So the life in her, the human life in her, is not that developed. So there's not much coordination of her members. They're not functioning in a coordinated, smooth way, because her life level is not that great. So the body of Christ is growing. You're growing as members. And as you grow, your function will be more manifested and your ability to coordinate will start to be developed. So you'll be coordinated. The body of Christ has to... Do you know how much coordination just comes in to something like this tonight? You probably have very little idea about all that went on, just practically. Not even talking about the spiritual coordination, the prayer, the fellowship, all that, but just to have a conference like this with 50 people. So much coordination so the body can be expressed. Okay, let's keep going here. I'll save a little time for you. We stop at 9:15, is that right? Okay, so I'll try to wrap it up here. Okay, let's go on to the last point. Now we have functioning, the body of Christ. We're emphasizing building it up, right? And A was what? Functioning. B is what? Prophesying. C is? And then D is perfecting. So, this is Ephesians 4, and I want you to underline, well, let's read 11 and 12 all together. Go. So now Paul is adding, he explained the functioning of the body in Corinthians. He added the need for coordination now, these functioning members. Now he's adding the need to have these members perfected. And some are given for this purpose, to perfect, that is to equip, to bring out the functioning of these members, because according to this revelation, it's the members that build up the body of Christ. These special gifts, the apostles, prophets, shepherds, evangelists, and teachers, they are for the perfecting. They have a job to do. And that's not directly build up the body of Christ by themselves, but that is to perfect the members of the body to do the work of ministry. That means the members should be ministering, and that ministering of Christ, the riches of Christ, is the building up of the body of Christ. That ministering in the riches of Christ through all the members is constituting others as members of the body of Christ. And some of you stood up here today, you told me you were met as a freshman during the summer. Nathan, you stand up. And then Johnny, were you also met during the freshman? You, UNM? Freshman orientation? Was that you? And then where's our sister Catherine? Right behind. Look at these three. All three stand up. Okay, we didn't know these people last June or May, did we? No. Unknown people. They turn around saying, see you. So, maybe they were believers. I don't know. I don't know their background. I know she was. I'm not sure about these.
They were.
Okay. So, y'all had already received Christ, but you weren't practically functioning as a member, at least not to the extent you are now, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, if there had been some out there speaking to them, then we would have missed them. The Lord wouldn't have gained them. They wouldn't be sitting here right now, would they? So there were some that were ministering the riches of Christ, and that's what attracted them. Right? You're attracted to this person, Christ, and so you were receiving this ministering, and so now you're functioning, you're members of the body. Right? I heard you all speak today. Good, y'all can sit down. Thank you. So there needs to be a perfecting. And now I think Andrew's there, and you're under some older brothers and sisters, right? Who would you say some of the ones that are perfecting? By perfecting, it's like an older brother or an older sister. You're just there with them, watching them, learning from them. Can you name anybody that you're receiving some equipping like this, that you're growing? Are you growing? Okay, you're growing. Not physically. I'm talking spiritually. You're growing spiritually. Okay, some help is being rendered to you. Who are you getting help from?
Andrew's
and Jason. And Jacob. Okay. There's many that are, we call the word calls that perfecting, Nathaniel. That you're getting some equipping so that you can be a more functioning member, a member that can build. Not just a member that receives, but a building member. Paul is interested in raising up building members. And building members are members that need perfecting because they're going to do the building work. They're going to minister Christ unto the building up of the body. So they need some help in building. I was telling Catherine, I want you to meet these sisters over here, because I was telling her earlier that this summer we're going to have an internship training. We have students on the campus during the summer that meet. We have 6 weeks of freshmen coming in, about 1,200 freshmen per week, 7,000 or 8,000 by the end of the 6 weeks. And we have about 35. Were you all there in the meeting on Thursday? Okay. You should have been. It's really good. So we're already beginning to help them, and some of them will be giving their summer this summer to meet these freshmen, and they need some help. We have internship training for about 3 or 4 days. We take them out to camp, and we do some perfecting. For instance, we help them know what the common faith is. Do you know what the common faith is? If someone came up to you, Nathaniel, on the campus and said, oh, you're a Christian. Oh, cool. What do you believe? Okay, let's meet on the campus. Okay, Nathaniel. Oh, are you a freshman? Oh, I'm a freshman too. Oh, what do you believe?
I believe in God.
Oh, you believe in God? Me too.
I believe that Christ is God, Jesus Christ is God?
Yeah, very good. Yeah, I do too.
I believe that He's the
Okay, perfecting. You saw it in action. Perfecting. Perfect. Okay, good. You got it. Oh, sorry. So, that's perfecting. Wire diagram. So we're going to be an internship training saying, wire diagram. Go over there and draw the wire diagram. And they make a song. I believe. That's a wire diagram. Okay. So they just get infused. And so, Nathaniel, we infused these students last summer, and during the summer, through the students, 130 people got regenerated on the campus, and we didn't even tell them to preach the gospel.
Amen. Wow.
But because they'd been infused, and it was just oozing out of their pores, people were getting saved.
Amen.
So we're going to probably, I'm not sure exactly, but it'd be something along those same lines. And then they're going to need some help tabling. You know, here's our table on campus. All right, we got a banner out there. And so we have some role playing. We have Sulky Sam come by. And what are some of the other names of the? I've got a list of them. There's they've got these funny names for different personalities that you're going to meet at the table. There's about six or so different kind of personalities that you're going to bump into. So we talk about those personalities and we prepare them. How do you respond to these kind of personalities? What do you do? So we role play. We get up there and we go through this so they get an idea when they're at the table and there's these freshmen coming by, the different types of personalities are going to meet. There's just categories of people. They're, generally, we fall into different types of personalities. You know that, right? I mean, everybody's different, right? But, you know, there's groups there. So we go through that. We explain that. Then we help them to, the importance of introduction. You know, people make an impression. The studies say within 3 to 20 seconds after you meet a person, they've already made a decision about you. So come on, Jacob. So you're there. And you meet me. Okay. Okay, I'm already getting an impression. At least he's smiling here. But your body language and what you say, people are making a decision. They're trying to size you up. You know, like, who is this person, right? So we're going to talk about that. There's some studies done on that. And then how do you talk to people? How do you, a lot of the ones that grew up in the church, they can't carry on conversations. If it's not amen, praise the Lord, and you know, instead of saying hello, we say amen. Or instead of saying goodbye, we say amen. And so you're on the campus and this is our language, right? It's a church life language. And we say, All these things that we all get it, you know, we were just in tune. We all wear the same glasses. I got the same prescription you have. I understand everything you're saying. FTTA, DCP, LSM, God men, God became man, make man God. I get it. Right? You understood everything I said, right? Okay. Now put on some glasses. Take those glasses off and put on some glasses of a Texas kid that grew up, he's 17 years old, he's coming to UT, and his daddy's a preacher in the Baptist church, a small town. How do you relate to that person? You don't know, exactly. So we're going to teach you how to relate to that person. How do you talk to a person without weirding them out? Oh, so you're from a little town in Texas, right? I'm Tim. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm so glad to meet you, brother. Praise the Lord. When were you saved? Do you read the Bible every day? You don't read the Bible? Oh, same way. You should read the Bible every day. And by the way, come to our meeting, and I'll condemn you some more. I'm just being facetious. So. But we need some help. It's okay. We just need help. Do we want fruit? Do we want to gain people? Well, you have to learn how to fish. You don't have to gain them. So we talk about how to talk to people. Then we talk to them about how to lead someone to the Lord. I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but have you led someone to the Lord? I asked one of you that earlier today, and they said no. I'm asking you now. And how many people have you led to the Lord? If it's zero, or one or two, you don't have a lot of experience. If it's zero, you should say, I need some help. I've not led a person to the Lord, and I've known the Lord for a long time, and I've not led one person to the Lord. I think I might need some help how to do that. Or if you led one person to the Lord, maybe I still need some help. Can someone help me? I would like to lead someone to the Lord. Amen. Because when I show up at the Eternal Tabernacles, when my name's called and I'm before the Lord, I hope there's a welcoming committee. You know, this is what it's going to look like. This isn't make-believe. There's going to be Eternal Tabernacles. When you're welcomed into the Eternal Tabernacles, I hope you have some welcoming committee there. And those are the people that you led to the Lord or you spiritually helped. They're saying, yes, Jesus, let this one in. I got so much help from this one. Come on in. Hey, the party's great. We're having a divine party. Come on in here. Come on, let's have a little, stand up. Everybody stand up. Let's have a little party real quick. We're here before Jesus. We're enjoying Jesus. We all made it. And here walks up Andrew. Andrew's coming in here. And Andrew had a part in all of us somehow. Okay, he had a part in you. You said, did he have a part in you? Yes. Did he have a part in you? We're all here because Andrew either gave money, gave us a tract, he donated money, he spoke to us, he cooked the dinner. Shitty, you married Shitty? That was a good move. By you owe us one on that one. She was our top sister. Okay. And now, here we are in the Eternal Tabernacles. This is the Eternal Tabernacles. This is in the YMCA. 2 days on the mountain. This is the eternal tabernacle. And here comes Andrew before the Lord. And here, this is in Luke. You can read about it. There's a welcoming committee. And we're here enjoying the Lord. Let's enjoy the Lord a little bit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And here comes Andrew. Andrew! Lord, Andrew. Come on. He's tired. He led me to the Lord. He's good, man. We're good with this one. He's down with Andrew. Okay, sit down. Now, do you want that? Or now you come in here, Andrew, and you're called up. Let's see in the Book of Life. Andrew Carton, come forward. It's just dead. There's nobody. It's dead. Shh. Silence. Nobody. No welcoming committee. No praise. Mr. Carton. No, son Andrew.
That's right.
Andrew, I gave you the truth. I gave you my eternal life.
Yep.
And I put you there in Albuquerque around some dear believers.
Oh, yeah.
Even married Shinny.
I know.
I gave you Shinny, man. And you had the church in Albuquerque.
Yep.
I gave you my possessions. What did you do with them?
No excuse.
Sorry. Next. No, this is also in the Bible about the Lord giving us the truth. We have the truth. Listen, it is true. That word will not pass away. You can bank on it. You can, everything else, wouldn't put your trust in. But the Word of God, it's there. It will not pass away. You can unreservedly just cast your whole being in that direction. We have the eternal life of God. The resurrected eternal life of God. 24/7. We have the believers. Look. Look at the dear believers. I mean, these are dear believers. We got the church. Aren't you happy in the church? I'm so happy when I was on the campus at UT Austin when I thought my life was going to be just... He snatched me out and put me in the church, and I've been there for 38 years. Now I'm a happy man. I'm so thankful for the church. I never dreamed there could be a place like this before. He gave it all. He poured out everything. He gave his life up. Don't you think he would like some return? So, praise the Lord, where you're still young. You got so many years to invest. And just, we're going to talk about consecration in the morning, so hang on. Okay, that's probably good. I'm going to leave you a few minutes. So that's perfecting and the need to be perfected. One last comment in Acts. This is the way Paul talked about, he wrote about perfecting in Ephesians after he had experienced being in Ephesus. He's writing to these dear believers whom he had traveled and stayed there 3 years. And so this is how he actually did his perfecting. All right. He says in verse 18, this is talking to the elders of the church in Ephesus. I'm in the middle of verse 18. You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you all the time. Perfecting requires some to be with you. The more we're with the saints, the more they're perfecting. This is Paul's way. He was a top perfecter. He's the one that shared the revelation. He's the one that gave us the word about the perfecting of the saints, and this is how He did it. He was with them. And then 19, serving the Lord as a slave. He was just like, I'm poured out. I'm 100% in this. With humility. Tears. That means he was invested. His person. His heart. His feeling. There were tears coming down when things were not so well. I mean, he was in it. He had skin in the game. Okay, so he was taking care of them. And then 20, he didn't withhold the things from them. He spoke to them, declaring the things to them, teaching them publicly and from house to house. How would you like Paul to visit your house? Awesome. I think I could get some perfecting.
Yeah.
And to Timothy, he writes to the elders, they're apt to teach. And this Greek word means like home teaching, like parents teaching children. So his teaching wasn't like the authority of Christ, and now I'm Paul, and sit down and take notes. Is that the way parents teach their kids? No, I've been at your house before. You got a younger sister, right? Elizabeth, is that her name? Yeah. And so I'm sure there's a lot of teaching going on in a very loving, tender, caring way to help her progress. Okay, this is the kind of teaching Paul did, house to house, like a parent helping a child develop humanly. Very fulfilling, very warm, very just very attractive. Okay, that's good enough. Now you got about 10 minutes. So sorry I hogged most of the time, but now you can say something, right? Surely there's something that you would like to share with us. So fire away.